You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hello. The government has announced a plan to deal with environmentally harmful products and stop them from entering landfills. One such product is e-waste. I spoke to Dr. Jeff Seedon, waste management expert from AUT, and I started by asking him about the current state of e-waste in New Zealand.
If we don't do anything with waste, it will just continue to keep on increasing. For example, over the last 10 years, waste has increased by 40%, and there is no trend to change that figure at this stage.
How difficult is it for people to recycle e-waste under the status quo?
Currently, it's quite difficult because what we have got is a situation where you've got to find the right sort of recycler. You've got to find the person who will then take it to a distributor who then goes off to send it to overseas facilities, and then it goes out somewhere into the wide world and gets recycled at that stage. With the situation that we've got now, where a product stewardship scheme is coming in, we're going to find that it'll be much easier to do that sort of thing, because those people who are involved in the supply chain will be the ones who actually have to say, well, how do we make sure that this keeps into the loop and doesn't just end up in a landfill?
How does New Zealand currently fare compared to other developed countries with regards to e-waste?
New Zealand is not very good at all. We've got a very, very small proportion of e-waste that's diverted from landfill. Out of the something like 80,000 tonnes that we dispose of, only about 1,600 of that ends up being recycled. So we've got a long way to go.
E-waste contains a lot of toxic and bioaccumulative substances. What particular harms does this entail if e-waste is not properly recycled, particularly with regards to human health and the environment?
If e-waste is just thrown away, then these toxic chemicals that are in there can get back into the biosystem. They can get into the ground and go into groundwater, and then where communities are taking water from groundwater, they can come back into the community again.
I guess this has particular implications for third world countries that often do receive e-waste from developed countries.
That's certainly the case, where in third world countries they don't have sophisticated ways of taking it apart so that it is safe. It's often someone like a child sitting on the side of the road somewhere pulling things apart, and they are then exposed to all these contaminants, and they are far more susceptible to the health effects that come from it.
What sort of health effects?
You get things like central nervous system damage, you can get cancers from it, you get kidney damage, liver damage. Those sorts of things can occur quite frequently.
And what advantages are there to recycling e-waste locally rather than exporting it?
With us, we are when we send our waste overseas, it goes to licensed facilities which are known to actually recycle it. So it's not going to end up in some developing nation which is just going to have it thrown in a pile somewhere and someone deals with it. The facilities are inspected, they're licensed, they are able to take this so that they will take back as much as possible. In New Zealand, when we put stuff into the rubbish, it goes off to our landfills, and in terms of being able to contain those materials, we are really good. We've got some of the world's best landfills around, and the chances of leakage from those landfills is very, very small.
On to the new scheme. You mentioned product stewardship earlier. Could you explain what product stewardship actually means?
Okay, a lot of people know product stewardship as extended producer responsibility. And what that says is that the person who imports the material or manufactures it is responsible for it at the end of life. New Zealand's taken a slightly different approach in that it said, well, look, everybody along the supply chain, from the person who imports it to the wholesaler to the retailer to the transporter, to the user, recycler, and waste at the end, or are all benefiting. So they can be involved in a scheme where everybody says, okay, I'll take responsibility for this part of it. And that's what product stewardship enables. It's not necessarily you bring it in, you are forced to deal with it. It's you bring it in, but let's get around the table and see who's going to take the collective responsibility.
Do you think that this places a disproportionate weight on users and consumers?
Well, the idea with users and consumers is that we make it as simple as possible. So, for example, if we take tyres currently, you go along, your tyres are getting old and bald, you go off to the tyre place and they take the tyre and you get a new set of tyres and away you go. And that's what a typical product stewardship scheme says, that, okay, when you are finished with it, then it's easy to get rid of it so that it goes back into the system. And with electronic goods, our e-waste at this stage, it's not all that easy.
Other countries which have implemented product stewardship schemes have recovered valuable materials from recycled e-waste. What benefits could this bring when New Zealand implements a similar program?
Well, the simple benefits are that we've got things like gold, platinum, we've got palladium, we've got the rare earths, which are needed for the current electronics, but they're only able to be found in very small quantities in two or three countries. So if we take these rare earths and we are able to put them back into the system, that then ensures that we don't deplete the earth's resources of these, and we can continue to have our computers and other electronic equipment upgraded.
Part of the new policy proposal is also a feasibility study into diverting e-waste from landfill. Does a feasibility study move too slowly?
By the time you do a feasibility study, it takes time. It's a couple of years. It keeps going. We've had a number of feasibility studies done and various results have come out. The main set of figures that we have is somewhere between 72,000 and 85,000 tonnes a year of electronic waste are going to the waste sector. And it's a matter now, I think, of action that we get people within that whole cycle of the product stewardship scheme goods sitting down and saying, well, how do we implement a scheme?
Doesn't the implementation of similar schemes in other countries already imply feasibility?
Absolutely, but it's a case of making it feasible for New Zealand. You know, you've got other countries where these schemes work very well. They've got large populations, large cities, quite concentrated, and it makes it much easier. For us, we've got a long, thin country with just a few centres of population. So somehow we've got to bring things together or make them available so that they're at such a small state or in a niche operating scheme that they'll be able to, in fact, bring them back and recycle them.
Countries which have successfully implemented product stewardship schemes for e-waste, like Switzerland, for instance, still struggle to recover cell phones and laptops. How far can national schemes go to tackle multinational giants like Apple?
Our multinational giants are the ones that have a lot of sway. What we tend to do is to piggyback on what other larger countries are doing, saying, you know, if you can implement a scheme in country X with hundreds of millions of people, then you can implement a scheme here in New Zealand. But a lot of the people who make these goods and sell them are also trying to be responsible environmentally because it looks good on their sites and in their reports that they're saying, look, we are doing this. We are going a long way to trying to keep these goods into a circular economy. For example, Fuji Xerox are saying that they've got 99% or over 99% of their machines are coming back and they are reusing or recycling them. And that's a good news story for them, and it makes them look good. as well as doing good for the planet.
But planned obsolescence is also a major problem, to the extent that Apple and Samsung have been fined by the Italian government over it. Doesn't planned obsolescence contribute to the magnitude of the e-waste problem?
It does, but if you start to say, well, look, you produce something, then it's going to come back and you somehow have to look at what you're going to do at the end of its life, then it suddenly becomes an issue of, oh, we're going to have to deal with this at the end, and we have to set up a scheme, and we're going to have to then devote resources to it. So they'll start to think, well, what is more economic, to do an upgrade on a machine of some sort, or to completely sell a whole new machine? And so this will start to bring things towards the idea of a service economy, where you're getting supplied a machine, you're paying for the service, and at the end of it, you can take it away and get a new one that has got the updated material that you got. Currently, we haven't got much of that occurring.
So I guess instituting responsibility for products at the end of their life will incentivize the production of more environmentally friendly products going forward.
Yes, and companies will be looking at doing things differently. So instead of pumping out these new products all the time, it could be pumping out things that enable the old products to be upgraded on site.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.